Welcome to A Canadian Investing in the U.S., a podcast and YouTube channel focused on Canadians buying real estate with host Glenn Sutherland.
Welcome to a new episode of A Canadian Investing in the U.S. with Glenn Sutherland. This week, my guest is Randy Legenderfer.
Very good.
I did read it over ahead of time. I'm like, oh, I got this. I got this. And then as soon as we started recording, I looked at it again. I'm like, oh, I'm going to make sure I do this right. Anyway, all right. Randy, thanks for coming on the show. I know you're an experienced guy down in Texas. Maybe let's start by giving everybody sort of a background intro to you and your story of how you proceeded through this whole thing.
Well, thanks, Glenn. First, it's a real pleasure to be on your show this morning. And as we record this here in the beginning of March, it's beautiful weather, and I'm currently living in Houston, Texas. Yeah. And so I'm sitting here with my windows open, which we don't get to do very often in Houston, given the heat in the summer. But so my story really began about 10 years ago. I was living in then Cleveland, Ohio market, working for a private equity company in an executive position. And private equity, if anybody knows about that, can have a, kind of a short life. And I then realized that I may not have a job. And so I needed to find another source of income. And so this really converted my thinking into finding another stream of income. And I got into, I had a brother-in-law who was flipping houses in South Florida. We both lived in Cleveland, flipping houses in South Florida. We were hard money lenders. And that's really my entrance into that. He got me into that kind of kicking and screaming. But it was profitable. And I then moved to Houston, Texas for business. As I said, I got out of the private equity business and came to a large academic medical center here. And when I came to Houston, I was just kind of blown away with the magnitude, the size of the fourth largest metro in the U.S., the number of opportunities. It was just, so I went to a weekend seminar and heard about multifamily. Mm-hmm. From a large educational group here, Lifestyles, just to be specific.
Yeah.
I attended that, and I just fell in love with multifamily at the time.
Lifestyles, so, is that, sorry to cut you off, that's Rod Cleef?
Lifestyles is Del Wamsley here. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in Rod Cleef's group today as we speak. I've also been in the Sumrock group out of Dallas, so I've tried to pick the best of both, all those organizations. And last March, a year ago, I stepped away from the corporate world, and I've been kind of to do this full time. Yep. And I had been kind of orchestrating that for a long time in my own mind, building up that income stream and being prepared for it. So I started out passively investing in other people's deals. And then I did my own first GP in 2018. Fast forward today, I have a substantial portion of my net worth in commercial real estate, like about 40% of it, if not more. And I'm got like 1,100 doors under assets under management. I think it's like 250 million total. But I'm loving life and enjoying what I'm doing. So that's a real quick executive summary.
Yeah. So you said commercial real estate just there, but you also mentioned doors. So I'm guessing you're talking about like a multi-res. Like sometimes when people talk commercial, they're talking about plazas or, you know, all kinds of different things.
Good clarification. Yes, I am speaking specifically of multifamily. Yeah. I do a little bit of my own investing in the industrial space and self-storage, but that's my own money. I don't bring investors into those groups yet.
So you're living in Cleveland, Ohio, and investing in Florida. Like for Canadians, Cleveland, Ohio is one of the hot spots that people go to invest from, like Ontario and BC and Alberta. Like those are the big ones that I'm mostly talking to. But like I'm kind of curious, like a lot of people, at least in my mind's wondering, like, why not invest in Cleveland? Why go all the way to Florida?
Well, good question. Different point in time of Cleveland, Ohio back in 2012, 13.
Right. Yeah.
Than today is the short answer, different market cycle. And quite honestly, I had a brother-in-law that I said brought me into this kicking and screaming, and he had developed a relationship. So as hard money lenders, he had developed a relationship with a group out of South Florida. And at that time, Miami-Dade County was just blowing up with opportunities. Yeah. And Cleveland didn't have the rents to really support what we wanted to do, nor did we have the people process that you needed to really flip houses.
You know what? It does make a lot of sense. And it's one thing I think a lot of people discount is that the different market cycles of different markets, and they do their analysis on wherever, and they don't do the analysis again. that things do change. Things get better. Things get worse.
Yeah, and the other one was, is since I lived in Cleveland, you know, I was kind of down on Cleveland at yeah. that time. It has made and continues to make a nice comeback, but at that time it was just a different. And like anything, it just depends on where you're going to invest in Cleveland.
Yeah,
there are areas to avoid and there are areas not to avoid. So,
in the because you said you're doing the GP, what kind of roles do you have when you're doing the GP? And maybe to clarify, like in a syndication, the GP is like the working partner or the capital raiser or the one who's putting the whole project together, and the LP would be the private investors or the ones that are limited to the amount of capital they contribute. So on the GP side, what is your kind of role?
Yeah, I like the illustration of the GP, of the airplane illustration, where the GP is the pilot in the front of the plane flying, and he has to worry about traffic control and weather and the behavior of his passengers, et cetera, et cetera. And the LP is the person sitting in the coach or business and enjoying their favorite beverage. But yeah, my role as GP is really diversified. So I'm in six different deals. I've been a money raiser. I've been a key principal. I've been the primary operator. So I try to take on a little bit of everything.
Yep.
And the more you're in this business, you get affiliated with people and build relationships. And I joined another deal here recently that's just coming on board to build to rent in Dallas. And looking forward to that just because of the relationships over the years that happened.
Yeah. And you just mentioned being the KP. So for myself as a Canadian, I typically bring in an American to be my KP that has a good net worth.
Okay.
For people who don't know what a KP is, maybe we'll go into that a little too.
Okay. Yeah. Happy to do that. Sorry. I should have done that.
No. I think with a lot of this, I just like to make sure that I like to teach as I go.
As well. For your audience, KP is referred to as a key principal. So in the loan, if you're buying a property, you have to have you and or your partners have to have a combined net worth at least equal to the amount of the loan by most lender status. And sometimes people starting out won't have that ability to have that net worth. And so, as you said, you have either rented or partnered with somebody that has the net worth and can use their balance sheet to get the loan.
Yeah. And it, like for a Canadian, like ideally you're looking for someone with a American green card, social security number, just because so that way you can play with HUD instead of playing with hard money.
There you go.
And you said you were from the hard money, the world originally, or back, at least not originally, but at least a while ago. How has that helped you? Like with, capital raising or doing multifamily, like where does the synergy happen?
Well, I think at that point I was so green, starting out as a hard money lender that I didn't know even what a hard money lender was, but today, obviously, I think there is synergy in terms of it. I think you indicated a couple. One, understanding, most importantly, as a key principal or as a hard money lender, you're really into the numbers.
Right.
You're really into the numbers. You want to make sure that, there are market comps, that after repair value and the budgets, repair budgets, et cetera, et cetera. So one, being analytical is probably my strength that I think that helps in that. And perpetuates that hard money lending into, and then as you said, it's about building relationships is huge too. So as a hard money lender, you're building relationships with operators, people that are buying homes, flipping them, and so there's an awful lot of trust, as you know. And Glenn, you've done this hundreds of times, so yeah. There's a huge amount of trust there that has to be built. So, and then the capital raising piece, I think, are also readily transferable.
That makes a lot of sense. And like, a lot of times when I think about hard money, I always think of like, you know, the typical residential 1 to 4 units. Maybe sometimes, you know, you get a 10 unit or a 20 unit. If you came from that background, why not proceed down that path rather than going to, you know, a 60 or a 200 unit, whatever size commercial building or multifamily building?
Do we need to pause and also talk about what hard money lending is?
Oh, yeah, let's do that too.
actually, hard money for the audience, just maybe they have not heard that term. Hard money is just, we're a private bank. So we lent money to a group. I lived in Cleveland, in South Florida. We lent money to a group in South Florida to buy the home and to make repairs to it. And they paid us a higher interest rate. So we got a higher interest rate than you would any other place else. And so that's with short terms and escalators if they don't perform, blah, blah, blah. So that's what a hard money lender is.
From my understanding, one of the big reasons that there's so many of them and it really exploded was like, you know, the 2000, 2008 or 7, 8, whenever the banks all held up and stopped lending, that everyone had to, like a lot of investors had to turn to that market in order to make this work.
So it's more pricey for the operator to use hard money, but it's much less, there's much fewer strings attached to it generally.
Yep.
And now I forgot your other question.
Oh no, but just how like a lot of times you think about hard money as, you know, for smaller buildings, right? And so why not proceed that path if you've seen the underwriting, you've been doing the underwriting, basically checking people's numbers, you're really familiar with that stuff, why not proceed down that path?
Yes, and for your audience too. So I was on that path of doing that, and then I came to Houston for business purposes because I still needed a job. And when I came to Houston, as I said, my mind was just kind of blown up. I went to a real estate meeting every night of the week for about 4 months in different parts of Houston to build relationships. And so the simple answer to that is it's very difficult to scale in single family and as a hard money lender, because you're constantly, without building a big team, a back house. And at that time, I just couldn't afford it. I didn't want to do it. So you have to, you can't scale. It's difficult to scale. You can scale, but it's difficult being a hard money lender to do 100 loans or 20 loans. Even one is cash, available cash to lend, but then chasing down all the payments and all the reporting, blah, blah, blah. So I very, very simply, 100 door apartment building versus 100 units, infinitely less work in 100 door apartment building.
Oh yeah. Like even myself, I've tried to buy portfolios of even, you know, single family houses, and it's to underwrite that is, it's so much work to get a contractor to go walk 25 houses. It's like, it's the hardest thing in the world to get someone to actually commit to that. Everything. It's a lot more difficult. So what it ends up being a lot of times is, you know, one or two at a time, and you just keep, you grow it, and you can still like quit your job on it, but it is a lot more labor, and it's a lot more labor even managing the property managers on it.
Yeah, and I hope I didn't turn anybody off from it. Like you said, there's a lot of people doing it, very successful over a period of time. They just do 1-2 houses a year and you know, hold them for 15, 20 years, and they pay off, and they're just cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Well, last year, what we were doing, we were still buying them, but we were buying a little less than an average of one a week. And we just kept, you finish a closing, you start initiate all the contractors, start another one, initiate, manage, get your whiteboard, get organized, because it's a lot of moving parts.
And I think you hit it right there, Glenn. It's a great point. Is, you know, your audience has to decide kind of, there are so many parts to real estate, to think about what you want to do. And forgive me, I came from the corporate world, and I don't want a big team anymore of people working for me. I've got virtual assistants. I'm a boutique niche player that enjoying it though. So,
well, even you saying that working for you, because a lot of times, like, I feel like I'm working for them at the same time. Like, I feel like I have a lot of bosses. I have a lot of people to report to. A lot of, you know, people who have lent me money. There's a lot of people to talk to, right? You spend a lot of time on the phone. Whereas you can, you know, doing some multifamily, you can scale this and, you know, deal with, you know, one or two property managers instead of a whole handful that you want to do a weekly call with, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a lot of this to it. So it's for someone who was just going to go right into like multifamily, because that's where I'm kind of considering that you kind of just, when you started doing the investing, you went right to the multifamily because you sort of skipped that part. What kind of like barriers, what kind of mindset, what kind of even like there's a lot of people that'd be just terrified of raising that kind of money. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of things to get by. How did you do that? What were some of the things you saw?
Those are all natural questions. Very good. Let me start on a couple of them. One, I can talk later. I'm developing a coaching program around that very topic that's going live this month. But there are many aspects to that. One is, I think first and foremost, is I'm just going to kind of summarize in education, the value of education, and whatever segment you're going into, be it single family flips or whatever, educate yourself on the risk. So yes, it takes a team in multifamily, but it also depends on how big of a property you're buying, whether it's a fiveplex or a 300 unit property, different types of that, but education. So I said I'm the analytical type. I'm risk averse.
Yep.
So when I first started doing this, I was extremely risk averse and very reluctant to write a check. But once you get over the first check and then you fall in love with it, and now I'm writing lots of checks. But I would say education, because the education is going to show you how to build a team, what to look for, what to look for in a property. There's a whole skill. Don't go out and just buy a property for buying a property's sake if you got the money, but underwriting, teams, you need legal, you need banking relationships, you need broker relationships. And I might have just blown away your audience with the number of variables there, but I am definitely not the brightest crayon in the box. And if I can do this as a boutique guy, many can. It's not rocket scientist. Somebody told me it's just simply follow the playbook, Randy. You don't have to do anything original. Just follow the playbook of what others have done before you.
So if you were doing your first one, would you recommend like, or even how did you do it? Did you go in like partner with someone, be part of the GP and just add a piece to that they were missing? Or do you start your own and bring all your new team members in together?
My history is I was in one of those large, I'll just say I was in the Sumrock group at the time, and I was very eager to get in the deal. And so that large ecosystem made it semi-easy, but there's a large dollar fee entry pay to play fee that I was never willing to absorb. That has probably gone up since then. So networking in that on other organizations, going to meetups, meeting people, talking that, hey, I want to buy a multifamily. And how do I do that? Who do I talk to? Well, Joe over here or Susie over there is also doing that. You have to talk to them. It's a lot of hard work, but it's old-fashioned blocking and tackling, networking, and building relationships and educating yourself.
Yeah. No, I love it. That's a lot. That's what I do. It's all about relationships. It's you're too many people, and you need to have good relationships, because if they're not, you're just not going to sleep at night.
Well, you probably got to have a lot of that with the diversity of markets you're in, just to, hey, who do you know? And XYZ that property manages or whatever. So
you just mentioned your coaching program. Like so what is it directed to? Is it more the mindset, or is it more the how-to, or what is it like?
So thanks. I really didn't get on to pitch that, but it came up. The coaching program, I call it the big box, the national firms. There's many of them. What I call the big box, that it's a one size fits all, and there's hundreds of people in them. And what we're trying to do and develop a very customized hands-on approach. So we're talking about weekly group calls, and there's a series of 10 different modules, online modules that you can take to understand underwriting or marketing or building a team or SEC requirements, to get into those in a little bit more detail and then talk about them online. So, and it's much more affordable than the big box that it's going to cost you $30,000. So that's what we're trying to do, is make a very customized approach, I should say.
Cool. So like, just to like, I'll open it up. If you want to, is there a website, or how do they find this?
How do they find that? It's Multifamily Maestros. I'll put it in the show notes, but it's multifamilymaestros.com.
Awesome.
And that will lead you in there, or give me a call offline. There's a discovery call that you can call to book a call with me and talk about it if that's what you're interested. But it's everybody's on different pace in their journey, right? Some are very, you know, you've been doing this for 15, 20 years. I've been doing it for 10. Others are just coming on board. So there's value in those groups to talk about that, right? Or to be able to contact Glenn offline and say, hey, Glenn, I'm looking at a property in Toledo, Ohio. What do you think? You're in Toledo.
Yep.
Invaluable.
Yep. No, exactly. Yeah. And I have a mastermind that's what we do, is we just go through and show us your deals and let's see if there's a mistake here. Let's make sure everything is looking.
That's the real advantage of a mentoring program, right?
Yeah.
Is you're going to hopefully eliminate mistakes.
Fewer. Let's reduce them. No, not eliminate. We'll reduce these to as few as possible.
You won't make the same mistakes I made.
Yeah. There you go. That's the way to put it. Right. And you know, if you've done a lot of properties or you've done a bunch of buildings, there's a lot to learn from someone who's experienced in doing this. Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for listening to the podcast. I just wanted to let you know that I've created a new coaching program. I believe the new coaching program has way more value than any of the programs that have even existed in the past. What we've done is pre-recorded all the lessons so that you can work through it at your own pace, which is pretty cool. And then we're going to meet up on a regular basis to answer the questions, do deal analysis, and actually spend our time together working on things instead of spending our time learning things. I think this will make a seamless transition to buying in the United States and will help you solve a lot of your problems. If this is of interest to you, go to glennsutherland.com/coaching. I hope to help you guys invest in the United States, and I hope we provide as much value as possible. Back to the podcast.
Totally.
And when I first did it, I partnered with a guy. I was an LP, a limited partner.
Yeah.
And I bought into him because the old adage, I know, liked, and trusted him.
Yeah.
And he was buying a property that I, in the place that I would never touch today in 1,000 years. But I bought into it because I liked him. It turned out to be okay. It wasn't great. But that was the first one. And then once you get it in your blood, then you're off and running.
Yeah. And I bought my same sort of thing. I bought in as an LP into someone else's project in San Antonio. No, in Arlington. Okay. 354 unit. I was just a small piece of it. Very small piece of it. But sure. It was sometimes it's nice just to be part of it, see the paperwork, see the flow, see the communication, understand how the taxes work, understand getting the tax paperwork, everything looks like. And it's just like, you know, grow with that, get some books, hired a coach, got some education, it just ghosts, right?
Multiplies. I did probably 4 or 5 deals as a limited partner before I ever did my first general partner deal.
Yeah.
Just for the very reasons I wanted to see the best of different people and develop my own own process, my own way to manage. Because you know, I'm sure you know and agree, there are people out there that, like anything in life, look really good, but there's no substance.
And then there's people.
Yeah. And then there are people with a lot of substance, but they're really rough around the edges and they couldn't talk to somebody if they needed to.
Yeah.
So you get both kinds.
Yeah. Okay. I get that. Randy, appreciate you coming on the show. You gave the website. If anyone wanted to reach out to you to track you down, do they go to that website or is there anywhere else they should find you?
Yeah, well, I would say that the social medias, I'm on LinkedIn, DM me there, Facebook. The Multifamily Maestros, my LLC is invest-arc.com. So that if you want to look at the portfolio I'm in today and the different markets, that's out there. There's also a contact me out there on that page. Love to chat with your audience, Glenn.
That's anytime. Awesome. Appreciate that. Randy, thank you for coming on the show. Lots of information, lots of ideas, and even things like just myself even thinking, I should probably do a new market analysis. I haven't done one in some of these markets in a couple of years. So it's one of those things, just doing conversations triggers other things, adds to my to-do list. But
didn't mean to make it create work for you, Glenn.
But anyway, Randy, I appreciate you coming to the show. This is great.
Thanks so much, and hello to everybody, and have a great day.
That was a nice video. Bye.